Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning, and we welcome back to the program. School Superintendent Dr. Bruce Benson is here. Dr. Benson, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And you've got a bow tie on today.
Yes, I do. And I appreciate you letting everyone know that today, since you made a point of saying I didn't have one on the last time I visited.
I did last time. And so you have one, and it's great to see it in person. And School Board Chairwoman Holly Hazard is here this morning. Holly, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's just getting back to school. It's a Monday morning and we're getting ready for school.
So what happened to the summer?
Went awfully quickly, at least in my household. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's just been. So as someone who's a parent, I'll get both of you to talk about this. When should we start thinking about getting our kids into a routine again and start thinking about school, because it's not that far off?
I don't know. I have teenagers, so to think that there's ever a particular routine is is hard. You know, for us, we actually do vacation a little later in August, so we'll be completely out of the routine. For mine, I have to throw them back in. But I have one that likes to get up early and one that thinks that morning should start about 10 o'clock. So
yeah.
I think everybody has to kind of come up with what works, you know, for their family. I remember when it was the elementary side, there was a lot of fun in getting ready to get up and do that. I will say I've gotten into the high school years, I'm not sure that, but they're already involved in stuff that begins in August. So it's sort of a mixed bag.
Yeah, when you're in sports and things like that, you're already kind of
I think for the kindergartners, it's the fun, making it fun in the morning as they prepare for it.
Yeah.
High schoolers, we've been there, we've done that. They, you know.
We're ready to go. Dr. Benson, do you have any ideas and things that, especially younger kids?
Well, and so my most recent experience is with my grandchildren. I have four, and actually my daughters do a pretty good job of keeping them on a routine, I think, pretty much the whole year.
Yeah.
So there's just there's something about having some structure that is predictable. I mean, they get a little bit of a break and you know, in terms of some of those expectations, but some of that's a good thing to keep, you know, year round.
Yeah. Well, and I guess just getting everyone when you get a week or two out from school, at least for bedtimes for younger kids, to start at least talking about it, that we're going to have to go to bed earlier.
Well, and personally, I wake up like at 5 every morning. I still use an alarm because I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
But it's just habit, and I don't seem to get out of it during the summer either.
When school in Stafford starts first day after Labor Day,
right?
Everybody's back. When do teachers start going back?
So we'll start with our new teachers, and we have a new teacher institute that is in the August 21st through the 25th. That's something that we have been doing for a little while, but we just recently started compensating our new teachers for participating. So that's great, because it's a long time until that first check comes if it's your first job.
Yeah.
So so we'll have them, and then we'll have the rest of our teachers back the following week.
The whole getting everybody – before we get into getting everybody all acclimated and things, things don't just stop in the schools over the summer. I know it's very busy in all of the schools getting ready for the first day.
It is very busy, and we added some work for our folks this year by doing our first Teaching and Learning Summit at the end of June. So we had 500 teachers participate in a Teaching and Learning Summit. The feedback that we've received and continue to receive has been very positive. Handwritten notes from teachers coming in during the course of the summer about the experience, and that they're just thankful that we were able to provide that. We had summer graduation this past Saturday. We had our summer leadership academy for our principals and department heads and assistant principals last week. And here we are. You know, not far out from welcoming new teachers.
Yeah.
And Ted, one of the other things, even though we spend a lot of the time on our staff, a lot of the stuff that's going on in our schools over the summer is our construction.
Right.
Because we're really trying to, of course, get our facilities ready, and if we can have as little impact on our students, you know, when they're doing big construction. And several of those things include, for my perspective as a person who has an orchestra student, we are expanding at Mountain View High School, orchestra and music room. We also, for our JROTC program, which will be starting at Mountain View this fall, correct? There's a large space that they needed. North Stafford Library, we're working on new gym leader, and almost many of the schools, we have something going on that's upgrading our facilities, because we have almost $500 million worth of assets that we have to, you know, part of what we are excited about is we do keep them up.
Yeah, no, and I get it. Summer's the time for on the maintenance end of things where you can get a lot done, and you hope that you don't have to cause a lot of disruptions. Right. So, as we go along this morning, we're going to talk about the Teaching and Learning Summit, the Academy from last week, and we'll get into, as we go along this morning, some more details on that. But summer's a busy time for teachers just in general, because I know a lot of them, if you're having to for recertification and things like that, for a lot of teachers, it's not as though you get the summer off.
No, there's a lot of prep work that obviously goes into getting ready to work with our young people come the fall, and I think most of our folks are spending some time doing that during the course of the summer.
We are talking Stafford County Schools this morning. For you, Dr. Benson, and the administration, I know you do have 4-day work weeks and a little bit longer each day, so you get Fridays off. But I guess there's just like the maintenance people.
That doesn't work for some of our folks, because summer is the time that we need to be working on the building upgrades and renovations and just prepping the buildings for student and teacher return.
I guess you'll be happy that it's always good when the students come back, though, and you get the teachers back, and you get back kind of into a routine like you will in the fall.
Yeah, it's just not the same. I mean, the schools are just, they're not the same. You don't have that sense of community when you walk into an empty building like you do when it's full of our young people and our incredible teaching staff.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Successful Teaching and Learning Summit. That is something that happened right after school ended, and I know it was a big, big success. And saw a lot of pictures and heard from a lot of people that were involved in that who really were helped by it. And we'll do that when we come back. Dr. Bruce Benson with Stafford County Schools, the school superintendent here, along with Holly Hazard from the school board. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Bruce Benson here, along with School Board Chairwoman Holly Hazard, as we talk getting back to school and a little bit of a review of some things. When Dr. Benson, when you were last here, it was in May. It was getting near the end of school, and we talked about this Successful Teaching and Learning Summit. And this was the first time this was done, and I know it was. I'll let you explain it, but I know there was a lot of excitement going into it, and maybe even more excitement coming out of it.
I think so. We're really pleased with the outcome. So it's part of our retention strategy, our total rewards focus area of opportunities to grow professionally. And we've, over the years, due to budget cuts, reduced the amount of funding that we had available to compensate teachers for participating in professional development opportunities. And we were able to restore a big chunk of that this past year and going into next year as well, because we've budgeted to do it next year. So 500 teachers. And we compensated them for being there during the week. And we also assigned each teacher a Chromebook to assist with our move to the G Suite application platform, which was part of it. But our focus really was really on our C5W. We want our kids to think critically, work collaboratively, be good citizens, be good communicators, be creative, and be well. We have a W in there for wellness. And the theme of the event is learning together, leading together. And really it's more than an event because we've already made connections to what will happen in schools through school improvement planning coming back in the fall. And mm-hmm. we have three basic areas that we focused on at the summit. The relevance of what it is that we're asking our young people to do in the classroom, the level of student engagement, and what kind of cognitive demand are we getting when we ask students questions? What kind of cognitive demand do we see in their responses?
Good stuff, especially the relevance thing. Because I know when I sat in school for years ago, you would always would think, when are we ever going to use this? And you do find that we used a lot of it, and I wished I'd paid more attention.
Why is a great question, right, mm-hmm. for everyone to ask.
Yeah.
And I think we need an answer that's a little bit better than, it's probably going to be on your SOL test.
Yeah. Yeah, because everything that you do, so much of what you learn is in all levels, you end up using. And to always be asking that and not just learning it, you do yourself a disservice.
Well, and making connections across disciplines, right? So that's yeah. really important so that our young people understand how to pull all these things together. And, you know, our goal is for them to be successful in whatever they want to do next. So whether that's further education or off to the world of work or service in the military, whatever that is, we want them to be prepared for that next thing that they want to take on.
And what's so neat about, the thing about a school schedule, just like sort of we talked about, you know, you get to summer and it is sort of a pause for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think the neat part about doing this summit, even though I know everybody just finishes, you're ready to kind of take that break. I think what happened is everybody came in and became really excited and then had several weeks to really mull over what was discussed there, because there was a lot of challenges issued to think differently, not only to help our students think differently, but also our professionals and our teachers. And you sort of can walk away from it and go, wow, okay, now I can really think on that. Because even in my professional career, you go to that mountaintop kind of experience and you come out and you go, oh, I can't wait, you know, to implement this. But sometimes you need to sort of chew on it. And I think we allowed that to happen, just like we were just discussing last week. The board sat down last Tuesday to kind of vision for the next year. And you have to do it, because when we get started in September, you know, we take off and launch and everything's rolling.
Yeah. So. Now, did the people who participated, and I saw some pictures from this, and there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people participating. Did they all volunteer, or were they, or was it everybody?
Well, it wasn't everyone, because we couldn't get everybody in there. We have about 2,000 folks on teacher contracts, so that we were trying to go after was about a third with our turnover.
Okay.
But yes, so we asked schools to assemble teams, so we gave them some flexibility in putting their teams together. I think that most folks felt like it was an invitation rather than a requirement. And I'm hopeful that we'll have even more folks that are just, you know, can't wait for this next opportunity.
Well, and I guess now the next thing to wait for is once school starts and to see if some of this, how it's implemented.
Right. So one of the expectations that's coming out of the summit is that our teachers will be participating in learning walks during the course of the school year, where they have an opportunity to observe what's going on in another classroom with a team. So they don't go in alone. They'll go in with an administrator, a couple of teachers, and look to see how we're doing in those particularly those three areas, the relevance, the level of engagement in the classroom, and the cognitive demand in response that we are getting from our young people when we ask them to do things.
Well, I guess what's exciting about this is that you're not just relying on technology. Technology can do so many things, but you're still making sure that there's the human and the personal element in all of this.
And we talk about that a lot. The technology in and of itself doesn't really change anything. An interactive whiteboard in a class is not interactive if you don't get to interact with it. So if the only person that's using it is the classroom teacher, or you're not doing things that are really, you know, engaging or raising that level of response from young people, I don't know that we accomplish very much.
And I know just looking at the technology today, the whiteboards and things, it's just it's terrific, all the different tools that teachers have. But ultimately, students, I mean, I just remember the personal relationships and the one-on-ones with teachers.
Well, relationships are absolutely key, you know, across the board. Our young people will do things for teachers that they have positive relationships for that, mm-hmm. that they might not do for somebody else. So that's really a critical element.
Speaking from the non-technology person, that's not my strength. That's not the one that I bring to the board. This move to this G Suite allows easier sharing of work that is being done. That's what really struck me when mm-hmm. I was at the when I attended the Teaching and Learning Summit. They did, each school sort of set up their area, and they were talking about, what are our goals, and the schools got to share those, and they could share their document on this G Suite and all the stuff, things that are beyond me. But I was talking to some, and they said, we were really sharing our ideas and some of the work and that collaboration, which our students are already doing. I mean, I watch them in the libraries and they're collaborating and they're all working on a document. And now we're sort of deploying our teachers to be able to do that too, and to work with our kids to do that, because that is the future, is that collaborative effort and using technology to collaborate as opposed to isolate us.
So what is the G Suite?
It's Google's applications.
That's right.
They kind of rebranded them a little bit.
Yeah.
You look to the right person when asking.
Google Slide. They've just kind of rebranded it a little bit.
That's what I thought I had heard that, but I wasn't totally positive. So this whole idea for the Successful Teaching and Learning Summit, was this something that you all sat down and mapped out, or is this something that someone else had come up with and you fit it to Stafford?
Well, I think Stafford made it fit for Stafford.
Yeah.
And so our team here really, and that team included building level folks in the planning as well. I've used this platform in other divisions, but I have to say that the team that we put together for this this go far surpassed anything that I've done in any other school division. It really was incredible.
Now, seeing the pictures and hearing from some people that participated, I was sorry that I couldn't come by and just watch a little bit of it, just because I think that I was so surprised that soon after school that you had that yeah. many teachers that were so enthusiastic about this.
So there were folks that were concerned about how things might end up by the end of the week, but it really turned out to be incredibly positive, and it was a quality experience time for teachers to work and reflect and reach across schools, which is another thing that we don't get a lot of opportunity to do within the within the division. So you have second grade teachers from one elementary school talking with second grade teachers from another, high school math teachers talking about mathematics instruction. Really positive. And we have incredible teachers across the division, and we should capitalize on that and have an opportunity to share and grow and give our teachers that that time to help lead.
So you'd mentioned that that there'll be teams in schools and how this will go forward. As far as the summit itself, I guess it continues on next year. You'll get hopefully a new group of people involved in
right
this.
The board included the funding for it in the budget for this new school year, so it is funded, and we hope to bring another 500 teachers in, and then one more cycle and we'll start over again.
Well, Holly, I would guess from the school board perspective, this is pretty exciting, because you're giving people tools, but you're also getting them maybe to feel even more part of Stafford County and Stafford County schools.
That's a big part of it. The other part that I see is, as you look at professional development, many times not just the teaching area, you think of professional development, we go somewhere and we go and learn something. Well, here we have such experts within our own Stafford County who... And I think that's going back to that piece I was saying about collaboration, and Bruce touched on it. Let's talk about teaching math in Stafford County across not just our building, but in general. And I think that kind of professional development is some of the best you can do, because you're going to walk away from that saying, wow, that worked over at Point, and we tried this, and how, did that work as well for you? I think giving teachers and administrators that opportunity and saying, we're going to reward it. You should be paid for that, because every day you walk into a classroom, or I'm a doer, so I want to walk in and I have my, here's what we're going to do, that you don't always get that reflection time as you always hope to. And this sort of allows that, but also says, we've got some rock stars, a lot of rock stars in Stafford, and let's help them teach each other, because that's the way you build your workforce. And from the board's perspective, I think that that professional development, that was a great use of the funds that we had available. You know, they're not unlimited, but let's make sure that we use them in a way that results in every student in Stafford County getting a part of the C5W experience and having a teacher that's been trained in that area.
Well, and the whole thing, Holly, about just professional development, I mean, usually that's just looked upon as dry and we have to do it. And I didn't get that impression, like from what I saw and heard afterwards. This was a different kind of professional development.
And when you bring somebody here to Stafford, you can train a lot more people in one space, as opposed to sending a team of 10 somewhere. If you bring somebody in, you can maybe see 1,000, but a larger group you can do here. So I think it's re-examining professional development and how we collaborate in general. And I think every industry is looking at that too, not just education.
Yeah. So it'll be the same, Dr. Benson, as next year will be right after school, you'll do the same thing?
Yeah, we're planning to hold the summit the last week in June of 18.
Okay.
We'll make sure it's on your calendar. Because you got
to
come.
I would like to come by. I was invited several times, and I've heard that was just a busy week. But no, I would like to be, because I looked at the pictures and saw this is just not something you usually associate with professional development. So we'll watch for it next year. Successful Teaching and Learning Summit. Dr. Bruce Benson here from Stafford County Public Schools, along with Holly Hazard from the school board. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning with School Superintendent Dr. Bruce Benson here, along with Holly Hazard, the chairwoman of the school board. Dr. Benson, we talked a few minutes ago about you mentioned when new teachers come back. Every year, every school district deals with people moving in, people moving out. As far as the staff turnover, how does that look right now with Stafford County Schools?
So we had a little improvement in this area from where we were a year ago. We had the number of folks leave us, whether it was to go to another position someplace or to retire. We were down by about 50 people, which is a good place for us to be, about a 3% reduction in turnover. Obviously, we would like folks to stay. We have a hard time replacing pretty much everyone. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And it really, whether it's you're driving a bus, you're a paraprofessional, you're teaching in a classroom, a building level administrator, a central office administrator, it is a challenge to get great folks and then hang on to them. So we're pleased that is down a little bit. That's still a concern for us. The total number for last year, and this is as of the end of June, because we go from July to June, so mm-hmm. that we can compare on an annual basis, 235 in this past year, and that includes again folks that are retiring as well as folks that are leaving to take positions elsewhere.
That number, though, when you think of the scope of Stafford County Schools, you don't want to lose anybody, but you do look at that, and that's not as high as I would have thought that it would have been. I remember, and I guess it was in the spring, you were in front of the Board of Supervisors and talked to them about a survey that had been done within the school district just about if you know how employees viewed Stafford County Schools and their job, and it was the number, as I recall, was really high as far as people that liked where they worked.
So we're, you know, the climate in the workplace is really important to us as an organization, both in schools and in departments, and we want folks to feel like this is the place that they belong and that they have an opportunity to have a positive impact on whatever work is that they're doing. And so we do division-wide climate surveying. And this past year, we had 84% of our respondents, and we had a little over 2,500 folks participate. Mm-hmm. 84% said, I enjoy working here, which is up 10% over where it was 2 years ago. So we're gonna continue to focus on that. It's part of our total reward strategy, compensation benefits, work-life climate, what's it like to be in, you know, work in those spaces, professional development, and then recognition, you know, telling people that they're doing a good job and what about that job was good.
Well, and when we talk about teacher compensation, it is more than just salary. There are other things that factor into that. I mean, benefits
right, and we think it's a package. We certainly have more work to do with compensation across the board, and teachers as well as lots of other positions within the division. Our paraprofessionals are way out of their market. We had identified that it would cost approximately $2.5 million to get them into the low of the market. We put $500,000 into paraprofessional mm-hmm. compensation. But we also look at other things like benefits, and we had a good year in terms of claims this past year. So there is no increase in healthcare costs for our employees going into this next school year, and that's kind of unusual.
I was going to say, wow, there are not many people, there are not many businesses that say that when you start talking about health insurance.
And one of the things, not this year, but the prior year, when we decided to team with the county on our benefits package to try and gain potentially some efficiencies, I know that the plan became more attractive to our families. I know Bruce can speak more to that, but I mean,
absolutely.
I think that was a real emphasis from the board and from our team to say, we want you to come to Stafford. And we want you to stay in Stafford. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that as you grow, maybe start families, those things, that we remain an attractive place to be. And benefits and health insurance is a big piece of it. Believe me, with those embraces and all the other things that I just got them out of, it's great.
Yeah.
But that we really took that ability to look at that and say, are we family friendly? And I thought that was a great question for us to ask. And I think something Bruce can actually speak more, but I thought that was a great piece for us to look at.
It was just the employee share of healthcare costs for family coverage was just, it was high. It was much mm-hmm. higher than any of our comparison divisions. So we realized that there needed to be an adjustment when we put together the new plan. So, because, you know, it's come here, stay here, but you can't afford the health insurance for a family, so you're not sure if that's something that you're interested in, whether or not you'll be able to do that. So
yeah.
big improvement now, though.
When you mentioned about the survey and 84% saying that they enjoyed working here and that was up, or was it things like that, you think, that helped or any able to figure out why there had been the bump, you know, the 10% increase?
Well, I think you have to make it important that you know, the work, what it feels like to work in a space, in a classroom, in a school, in a department, you know, or in transportation, wherever that is, you have to say to folks, we care how you feel about working here. And then you have to find a way to assess it mm-hmm. and then say, you know what, we're gonna improve this. And we're going to work together to improve it. So, you know, folks in the buildings or in departments got an opportunity to work with their leaders in the building to figure out, well, what would it look like if this were better for us, and put together an action plan. And we're going to continue to focus on that. We've got some schools and departments that for 3 years in a row, very high scores in the survey. And we've got some places that need to improve. And we're going to be focusing on those in this coming year.
And Ted, I believe that we are in the Commonwealth of Virginia the only school division that is doing climate surveying, which is done in many other professions.
Yeah.
And
on this scale, I think.
On this scale, like this depth. And so, I mean, you can take a lot of anecdotal things, but if you really put in a survey and really want to hear it, that's what I think we want to do. We don't want to just rely on one or two people saying one or two things. What's the real general sense? And this was the way that we are looking at it. And it is something that, you know, the board members look at, look at that data, make sure that, you know, where are we?
Well, and on the whole teacher compensation, everyone points to Northern Virginia, but ultimately it's not, I mean, you would like, I'm sure, to be able to provide the higher salaries, but...
Well, and this year, well, speaking of our last Tuesday when we got together for the board to plan, we came up with legislative priorities for the board. We made them very, very narrow because we do not, we personally, the school board does not employ its own lobbyist or anything. But we picked two areas, and the main, they were two regarding the state, was about the cost to compete, which Northern Virginia counties get 100%, and we are in the phased category. Mm-hmm. We've talked at length. Of course, we're the only phased one that has to do the emissions testing. So for a lot of purposes, Stafford is considered Northern Virginia for most things. And we believe that we need to be in that 100% group because, now this was the old study that was done in 2012, I believe, but it talks about an instructional cost to compete can be 9.83%. That's a significant additional help from the state.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be $4,000.
Wouldn't you like to have that?
Wouldn't I like to have that on top? So that is one of our legislative priorities. I'll just mention our other one, which is a little different with the standards of quality. The school board feels very strongly that a nurse should be considered a standard of quality position because mm-hmm. right now the state basically says you can run a school and not have a nurse. Most of us would never allow that to happen. But we think that the state should fund some portion of a nurse, and we would prefer for them to be in every building because Stafford has made that commitment. We have a nurse in every one of our school buildings.
See, now I thought that was something that was covered by, you know, the state mandated.
When we get our standard of quality, when they say that there is a, you know, percentage increase that the state is giving to, you know, how they always say teachers or people on a teacher contract, it also includes SOQ positions. Right now, if we were only to give it to our SOQ positions, a nurse would not be included. And then there's other positions. We just have started with our nurse because we've seen the challenges of the many medical conditions and things in our schools that I just can't imagine, with my background, it would be, to me, like gross negligence to not have a nurse in every one of our buildings, which we have committed to, but many school districts do not.
Hmm. See, I thought that was...
That's another one we can get on another time. Delegate Mark Dunheffer worked with us last year to try and bring that bill forward. We found some of the hiccups, so we're going to try again this year.
Well, sometimes the political end of it and what the General Assembly provides and, you know, the governor or the General Assembly, that does play a role. And like you say, if that $4,000 extra would really be something.
And I think the concern for me, and this is as a taxpayer as much as anything, this cost to compete, we're competing with, you know, Prince William and, mm-hmm. and that for our teachers, which to me, theoretically, so this is not the board position, it's hard for me to say that, you know, our Commonwealth is investing $150, $160 million into a program that makes us compete with ourselves.
Yeah.
In some sense. So that's actually something we are bringing forward. Those are our two main legislative priorities, all going to this comment, you know, about compensation.
Well, we talk about school getting started. I guess one of the things that never stops for the board is the next year's budget. Even though you're far out from that, it's always on your mind.
Mm-hmm. We worked up some of our finance and budget committees working on our goals. We worked on Dr. Benson's goals, which all go towards what we should be funding in Stafford County. So we're rolling on that. We usually approve them in late September, early October, so we can, you know, really get the year rolling.
Yeah, you mentioned the retreat last week. Was that good?
It was. I mean, what we do is it's a lot of brainstorming. That opportunity to say, let's look at last year and where do we want to go and what are the areas we want to move into. Then, and it's not all budget, but it's also some, we talked about program evaluation and just some other broader issues that we want to start to make sure we delve into, because there's always something for us to be doing.
Yeah. Holly Hazard here, the school board chairwoman, along with Bruce Benson, the school superintendent in Stafford. When we come back, we'll talk about collecting school supplies for kids. Holly is wearing a Stafford Education Foundation shirt, and I'll ask her about that, and we'll talk about the need for school bus drivers. More coming up. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford County Schools, our focus this morning. Holly Hazard, the school board chairwoman, is here along with Dr. Bruce Benson, the school superintendent. And Cherie Johnson is here, the public information officer for Stafford County Schools. Cherie, good to have you here. You've been here sitting as quiet as a little mouse over there.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, tell us about this the Collect for Kids, because this is an annual event that I know that the Stafford County Schools has been involved with, and it's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we're very excited about it. Right now, through August 21st, we are collecting school supplies for our students in Stafford County Public Schools. Now, we have teamed up with several business partners. We have about 20 business partners that have offered to put boxes, collection boxes, in their lobbies or offices. And some of the top ones include Apple Federal Credit Union and, of course, the firefighters. They have been wonderful. We also have a collection box in our front lobby at the main complex, 31 Stafford Avenue, at our Bandy complex. But we are collecting school supplies for our students, and we're collecting up until August 21st. And then on August 31st, from 10 a.m. to noon at Stafford County Fire and Rescue Station 12, that's where all the fun begins. That's where we pack the backpacks and divide all the school supplies up. We have representatives from each of the schools come out, pick up the backpacks to take back to the school. So it's really a lot of fun. And I know, Ted, you came out last year, so we see you every year out there.
Yes, I have. And it's quite an operation, because
yes,
everything is, I mean, there's a lot of schools and everything, and you need certain things, you know, will go to Mountain View or Brook Point that, you know, can't go to Ferry Farm.
Exactly. So it's a very nice, well thought out process. The firefighters do a great job organizing that. But, you know, we can't do enough. We can't thank the community enough for coming out and supporting our students. We've received a lot of support, and we're looking forward to receiving a lot of supplies for our students. And, of course, folks can go to our website, www.staffordschools.net. We have a complete list of school supplies and a complete list of the drop-off locations if folks would be so inclined. On Saturday, we had a great time. We were at the Walmart off 17 in Stafford Lakes. Great time. Walmart and the firefighters were out there collecting school supplies. They had a cookout, a barbecue. It was just a lot of fun. And folks were stopping by the table. Sometimes they were just giving donations, and sometimes they were putting the school supplies in the buggy. So great time.
So much is needed. Mm-hmm. So many families can't afford. Many of us, we take it for granted that everybody
think
can.
It's a small thing, but for some families, it's a big thing. And sometimes, you know, school supplies can be expensive, especially if you have more than one child. So this is a way that we can help our students. And of course, we work with our guidance counselors to get that list to make sure we get the supplies to the students that need it.
So there is a list. If you go to staffordschools.net.
Yes, right on the home page.
Find things. And a lot of times we forget that high school students need a lot of different things. It's not just always rulers and notebooks. And for some high school students, this is really important stuff.
That's exactly right. So we got an extensive list there that helps all students.
So when's the deadline to have things in by?
So August 21st is the deadline to donate to one of the locations. And then again on August 31st, that's when we're going to separate the supplies and send them off to the schools.
Boy, and I'm sure for a lot of families that they could come in and have things right there, it's a relief for because students should, if you know your family can't afford it, that's what's tough.
We're just really appreciative to all of our business partners that have really chipped in. You know, we had like Costco last year gave us like 500 backpacks. So, you know, Walmart's been great. As a matter of fact, this Saturday coming up, we're going to be at the Walmart at 6:10 taking donations there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if folks could, come on out.
Okay. Before we get out of here, Holly, you're wearing a Stafford Education Foundation shirt. And I know that Stafford Education Foundation always involved in things and always looking for more business partners.
The neat thing is we've re-energized that group last year. We had a very successful year. We had several events. And this year we are doing our, I think it's really the fourth annual, but at Cannon Ridge Golf Course. We will be there on September 25th. Last year, our golf raised over $30,000, and then we had a running event. And the neat thing about that is we were able to do innovative teaching grants to some of our teachers. And then what's really exciting to me as we talk about sort of the decrease in the national enrollment in teaching programs, we were able to give a $2,000 scholarship to a graduating senior who was planning to go into education. And we hope to build on that after last year. So we had great participation last year, but if anybody is interested, it is on our website, on the Stafford Education Foundation website, and on the main school website. You click through and there is information about signing up for the golf course.
StaffordSchools.net, again, the school's website. And if you want to donate for Collect for Kids, do that by August 21st. Dr. Benson, good to see you again. Back at it in a couple of weeks for school.
Absolutely, and thanks so much for having us, Ted.
Great to have you here. Dr. Bruce Benson, Holly Hazard, and Cherie Johnson. Thank you all, and we'll see you once school gets started. That is it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.